Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daly on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and today the Church celebrates in her life, in her sacred liturgy, the exaltation of the cross, sometimes called the finding of the cross, the exaltation of the true cross. Today in the life of the liturgy, we recall that moment in time when St. Helena, the Empress, the mother of Constantine, journeyed to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage of reparation. She went there to pray in a spirit of reparation for the soul of her son and to really make peace with the Lord Jesus Christ because of the sins he had committed. And while in Jerusalem, she sought to venerate the holy relics of our Lord's passion, relics like the cross upon which he died, the crown of thorns which he received during the passion, or even the steps he would climb on the Via Crucis, the way of the cross. Considering all of these different things, the Church has a special feast, the exaltation of the cross or the finding of the cross. And today we celebrate the reality of the cross being lifted high, high in our lives, high in our souls, high in creation, the sign of the cross. I'm joined today by Devin Klein, who's shaking his head, filled with regret that he's in front of the microphone.
I signed up for one of these.
I'm notorious for baiting and switching. So there we go. Devin, the exaltation of the cross, a feast that is definitely unique to Christianity, and it's really celebrated with particular solemnity in Catholicism. You know, what strikes you as being beautiful when we consider the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is actually Moses in the desert,
yes,
with the serpents.
Yeah.
I love that parallel. Mm-hmm. So when I think of exaltation of the Holy Cross, well, yeah, it is the finding. It's like, why the cross? Why Jesus on the cross?
Right.
And I think we have that great parallelism,
yeah,
with that story.
But see, a lot of people may not recall, like when we hear serpent or snake, we're like, devil, yeah, evil, Eve, snake bite. That's disgusting. Gross.
Yeah.
No, but you're highlighting Moses when, as a result of infidelity, the seraph serpents came about and were biting the people.
Right,
and they were dying from the wounds, mm-hmm, the bites of the snakes. And then the Lord commands Moses, make an image of the seraph serpent and hold it aloft. And whenever people gaze upon it, they will be healed,
yeah,
which is a powerful foreshadowing of the reality of the cross. For those who gaze upon the cross, there's a healing sometimes in the flesh,
sure,
always in the soul. So when Moses would hold aloft that image of the seraph serpent, you know, those who had been bitten, those who had suffered as a result of their sins would be healed. Their sin of infidelity, the infidelity which would then lend them susceptible to the snake bites. And here they gaze upon this symbol, this sign, held aloft by Moses, the great lawgiver, and they would be healed. And that's, like you said, in the Old Testament, is a powerful foreshadowing of the cross. You know, we suffer as a result of the consequences of our sins. Don't get to blame that on anybody else.
Nope.
All on me. I mean, your sins are not on me. My sins are on me.
Yeah.
But the Lord holds aloft the sign of the cross. He dies on the cross, and we gaze upon the cross, and there is healing there. How would you explain that healing that takes place? We gaze upon the cross of Christ, and we are healed.
Well, I'd say first off, it's a choice. I think,
yeah,
I think that's the interesting,
totally,
aspect with the seraph serpents,
yep,
is that all you have to do is look.
Yeah.
And I
but you have to look.
You have to look.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you choose not to, then you won't,
right,
be healed. And I think with Jesus on the Holy Cross, so there's that first, that choice.
Yes.
That I will look upon him,
yeah,
who is pierced for my sake. But the healing that comes is, I think, in recognition that not only somebody would do that for me, but that God himself did that for me. I think that's where the healing comes into play. Because in today's society, so many people are looking for love.
Yeah.
And I don't know what country song I'm quoting, but
I've got a couple running through my head.
So. But I mean, this is what we're looking for, love in all the wrong places. We're
it's
wounded.
True. It's true.
We have so many scars, especially.
Yeah. Wait, St. Augustine. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. So your heart keeps looking elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, Yeah, back to your love story from the country music, tying well, it into no, the crucifix.
No, I mean, and that's, I mean, that, I guess that's what I'm trying to get to, is that we want to find somebody who sees us. We want to find somebody who knows us, who would die for us, or we wish to respond in that way. And when you look at Jesus, you have that that person, and it's not just any person, but it's your Creator. It's the one through whom the Father decided that you would be, and that you are.
So make the choice.
Make the choice. Look at the cross.
Gaze upon the Lord. Gaze upon the cross. How good is your Latin?
Terrible.
Perfect. So is mine. So Ave Crux Spes Unica Nostra. Hail, O cross, our only hope. A beautiful prayer, a beautiful line. Hail, O cross, our only hope. You know, our hope is in the cross. And, okay, eyes of the world, that's weird. Eyes of the Christian, not so weird, sure. Just different. Eyes of the Catholic, we're like, duh. We make the sign of the cross over ourselves before and at the end of every prayer. And while we make the sign of the cross, we also invoke the Holy Trinity in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So basically, the cross becomes a doorway through which we enter into the mystery of the living God. And as we enter into that doorway that is the cross, then we enter into the mystery of God, a mystery of love. You know, John, in his writings, whether it's the gospel, one of his letters, or the book of Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, you can't help but encounter John's desire for us to appreciate how, you know, in the mystery of God, we experience love, true love. But the way we enter into the mystery of God is through the cross, through the reality of Jesus Christ's love for us. You know, we behold him on the cross. And it's supposed to be something that's liberating, not a burden.
Right.
So smile. You have to be joyful. You're like, doom and gloom Catholics do nothing good for the church or the world. You know, I mean, you look around, if you walk around looking miserable, you're not going to exactly be attractive. An attractive, you know. It was like, oh, there's another Christian. Yeah. You will know them not by their love, but by the misery on their face. Sure. No, for the one who has experienced the cross and sees and appreciates and understands the love God has for humanity, the cross truly is that portal towards hope, towards love. And that's what also transforms our understanding of suffering, you know? And as an individual who's growing in his faith, who loves his faith, and who is known for his faith, you know, what would you say? You know, you're in your 20s, your early 20s, and very gifted, very talented, and you see your peers, you know, what is the thing that you wish you could offer the whole world as a young Catholic man who knows the Lord, knows that, you know, you need to love the Lord, and then you want to serve the Lord? What is like that one thing you would just throw out to the whole world, you know, saying, if I could just have like the microphone for the whole world, which oddly enough, I guess you have right now because it is radio. There you are. Yeah. What would you just offer your peers? You know, those who are in high school, those who are in college, those who are young professionals, you know, those who are discerning their vocation in life, you know, those who are young priests or young religious or young married couples, you know, and even like parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. What's that one thing you would offer just after your own experience of the cross and the Lord's love and hope and mercy? What's that thing you would offer to anyone and everyone who would listen? And then there was silence.
I think of a one-liner, which is just that I mean, the cross is everything. And okay, great. Yeah, the cross is everything.
Sure.
But what I mean by that is, in every vocation, in every situation of authority, in any role that you can play, it is the cross. If we are called to live and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we have seen the fullness of love in the cross. And so what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves is to do exactly what Jesus did in his passion in small ways, in every instance of our life, whenever those opportunities arise. Marriage is a cross. The priesthood is a cross.
Yeah. Good crosses.
And not a and they're not crosses.
There's no such thing as a bad cross.
Right. It's more just an opportunity to enter into love for the other.
Exactly.
In the same way that Christ did.
And it's a sacrificial love. It's a love that we offer to the Lord through the heart of the other that is before us. When you converted to the faith, how hard was it to learn the sign of the cross?
The sign of the cross?
Yeah, the gesture that the we make.
That one was relatively easy.
I think
it's it was the sitting and the kneeling and the standing.
At Mass?
Because I didn't understand what was happening at the Mass.
Sure.
That was confusing for me.
But I always find like it's one of my favorite favorite privileges as a priest is to help teach children how to pray, especially the little ones. And, you know, the very first thing we teach them is, you know, the name of Jesus, the name of Mary. But then early on, you teach them how to make the sign of the cross. And it's got to be one of the greatest gifts we can give to an individual is to be able to trace the sign of God's everlasting, ever-enduring love over their person, their body. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, in baptism, we are claimed by the Lord. We are given everlasting, eternal life. But then it's in the cross that we trace over ourselves before and after every prayer. You know, it's sometimes even when life becomes really difficult and challenging, we can't even get a prayer out, but we can make the sign of the cross. And if we're even just, you know, paralyzed because of the burdens of the present moment, even in our mind, we can just make the cross and the sign of the cross and enter into the presence of the Trinity. It's just a beautiful gift, you know, and like you enter into Mass and begin with the sign of the cross, and it's like, do we take it for granted? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord give you his peace.